True North, AM 1460, FM 101.1. The Answer, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. or via podcast.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Shining a light on the leaders and luminaries of today and tomorrow. You're listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
Fly me to
the moon. Woo! Good Saturday morning, Southern Colorado. It's spring break is over. Are you as twisted around as I am sometimes? You know, you wake up and you're not on Cancun or you're not in Maui or wherever you were this past spring break. But hopefully you had a great time. Hopefully you got around to seeing some family, some friends, and maybe some different aesthetic, maybe some beaches, some other cities around the nation and our beautiful nation. And or maybe you got up into the hills of Colorado and got some skiing in, because I understand that when the beach crowd was gone, you got a little snow up in here. But hey, it's Colorado. You know, we're still arm wrestling match between spring and winter here, and ultimately we know the outcome of this story. Spring wins, but doesn't mean they don't get to arm wrestle a little bit before winter finally cuts us loose. But anyway, it is Saturday, April 6th. It's 8 in the morning, and I hope you are off to a great start here in Southern Colorado. Maybe you're on your bike, on a hike with your loved ones or dogs, or just hanging out, watching the beautiful vistas. But we had a great week last week here in Southern Colorado, great weather. And we're going to cool off for about a week, and then hopefully we'll pick back up with spring next Saturday. But we'll see. I got some great news. We got a brand new North publication out. On the cover of this new edition is a gentleman who's been in this community for a very, very long time. His name is William J. Hibble. Most folks call him Bill Hibble, and he is formerly head of chairman and CEO of the El Pomar Foundation here in Colorado Springs. Now, this gentleman is an extraordinary individual. Basically raised in Pueblo, came up to Colorado Springs, found himself in great discussions with local leaders about leading the Broadmoor, the El Pomar Foundation, and some other things, and those caveated into relationships with three American presidents. Absolutely an amazing individual, and he's the only person who has served twice as the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee's chairman and CEO. So Mr. Bill Hibble, William J. Hibble, he's also an attorney, and his son Kyle is now heading up the El Pomar Foundation. Most of the good folks here in El Paso County know who these folks are and what that organization stands for, an incredible body of work. And this gentleman's life is absolutely extraordinary. We encourage you to go get at least your digital copy at coloradomediagroup.com/subscribe. It's free. And if you want to get on our mailing list, just do the same thing. Give us your mailing address, and we'll put one in your mailbox each and every time we release. So great other stories in there. We have some Olympic hopefuls that are going to Paris this year who have a plane ticket to Paris to compete in the games, and they're going to be in the publication as well. And just some other great stories. It's a fabulous publication. Again, kudos to my great design team and writing team. They've done a great job of welcoming these people and these stories into our audiences. So take a quick look at that. Now I'm going to call this section The Hands They Were Dealt. If you have been alive for more than 15 minutes, chances are you've experienced some type of adversity in your life. And, you know, I'm not talking about adversity that your TV is buffering. Okay. That's not adversity. I'm not talking that your car stalled, or that you didn't have enough money in the account for that, dinner. I'm talking about real adversity. People that have had rocks, life's big boulders thrown at them. And it's really surreal what's happened. And most of us have had some experience, whether it's loss of a loved one or other issues that life can throw at us. But I have an extraordinary individual on the other end of this phone She wasn't able to make it into the studio this morning because she was taking beautiful pictures of families down in Southern Colorado. I have Mandy Penn. She's a photographer and author here from Colorado Springs on the line. Good morning, Mandy. Are you with me?
Yeah, I am. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. You know, you've got this book, fantastic, fantastic body of work here. We'll get into kind of what was the impetus story for you developing that. But I love to orient our listeners to who you are, who they're listening to, and just give us a little background on you.
Yeah, so I just turned 38, so I am a little younger, but also I'm feeling very old lately. But
why is that?
I have an amazing husband, and I have twin, almost 11-year-old, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, you know, mom, and I started doing photography about 6 years ago, and I just fell in love with it. So I have a studio off of Or Blanco and North Carefree in Colorado Springs, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Well, very good. So you said you feel old. Why do you feel so old now? You're only 38.
Well, I know, right? That's what everyone says. But I woke up this morning, and I was, you know how sometimes you go to bed, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to feel great in the morning. And then you wake up and you just have like that thing in your back.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, I could have swore that this didn't kick in till like 50, but it totally started when I hit 30. So, you know, just a little thing, you know,
right,
that you notice now.
Well,
so
we'll set you up with some chiropractic services or some orthopedic services.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you could give me a good referral.
Absolutely. But hey, you know, it does start to come around. You know, it depends on, you know, your activity level and everything else, but it does start to creep in, you know, those miscellaneous aches and pains right around age 40. So, I don't know.
It's coming then.
It's coming.
It's going to get worse.
Yep. Stay fit, buddy.
So
tell us a little bit about you, where you're from originally, and how you got to Colorado. Are you a native?
So, I would say I am. However, I didn't move here till I was 5.
Got it.
But I don't remember anything before 5, so I'm going to say I'm an honorary native.
Okay,
so,
fair
so
enough.
So I grew up in the Springs. Yeah, I went to Doherty High School, and I went to Sabin and Penrose and a few years at Monroe. And, you know, so Colorado Springs is my home. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else, so.
Very good. So what was life like for a young Mandy Penn? Were you always kind of in the artistic realm, or did you have other interests growing up?
So I was more on the artistic side. I'm extremely creative, sometimes too creative, if that's a thing. I just have ideas, and I just want to implement them all at the same time, so I get a little overwhelmed. But when I was younger, I did a lot of art classes. I'm a singer, so I was in Colorado Springs Children's Chorale, which my daughter's in now, so that's super nostalgic and super cool.
Right on.
And then I'm trying to think what else. So if you know me, I'm like 5'9". Mm-hmm. I'm pretty tall. And so everyone assumes that I did sports when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Totally didn't.
Totally didn't.
I did a sport called baton twirling.
Okay.
And it was very hard, but it wasn't a tall person sport. But actually, I didn't grow till like middle of high school. So I was actually pretty short. So I was really good at that, actually. But I never played basketball or volleyball. But I get that all the time now. They're like, oh, were you a volleyball player? And
oh,
I'm like,
sure.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not. So,
but
yeah,
one
so
of
I didn't do much sports-wise. So
one of their guesses might have been that you did some modeling. And that actually is true.
I did do modeling, yeah. So that didn't happen until I was 20 or 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about super randomly. Actually, I was in Joplin, Missouri. That's where I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually where I met my husband. We worked at Red Lobster together. But I was at a bar with some friends, and I always the DD. And so my friends thought it would be extremely hilarious to sign me up for a free photo shoot. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hate being in front of the camera. There's no way. And what you had to do, you had to like walk up and see the judges and like dance on the dance floor and then turn around. I am not a dancer. I have rhythm. I can clap on beat, but you ask me to dance and I roll my eyes. So I walked up when it was my turn, because I wasn't going to back down from a dare, walked up to the judges. I blew them a kiss. I turned around and walked off. And I was like, okay, I'm good.
That's hysterical.
We're fine. Yeah. And so And then when they announced the winner, they announced my name. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, it was so weird. And so I won this free photo shoot, and I was super excited. I hadn't really done any modeling before that, and I went to Ozark Christian College.
Mm-hmm.
So I was extremely reserved and very shy and a little naive, truthfully. And so it was the first photo shoot that I did that I enjoyed, but then it just took off from there. And I found that the more I modeled, the more I loved it. But not only did I love being in front of the camera, like the pictures, mm-hmm. but I loved the emotion that I could portray.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who'd you do some work for?
So a lot of local companies and boutiques in Kansas City.
Okay.
I was in Joplin for a little bit and then moved up to Kansas City, and I did some runway in, I can't even, God, it feels like ages ago, in a district. And then I did a lot of just shoots for, like, it's called TF work for models and photographers. So it's mm-hmm. like time for. So as I didn't get paid as much as I did get, you know, mm-hmm. publicity and, like, booked from other photographers and runways and stuff. So
yeah, but you had some fun.
Yeah. Did. It was a lot of fun.
Very so. Good. Well, then when did you and Mr. Penn head west and land in Colorado Springs?
So we headed back here. I believe it was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 2010. And we had been married 2 years. We decided to come back to Colorado Springs. But in my defense, I did warn him. I said, when we were dating, I said, do not propose to me if you do not want to end up in Colorado Springs, because that's where I want to be. And if you don't like it, then you should probably just, we should just stop this, and we should go our separate ways.
Oof.
And then he proposed to me a month later. So
tough
I
message.
Said that as a yes.
Tough
so,
message
yeah.
coming out of the gate hard. Okay.
I know. I was like, you know, we were getting pretty serious. And so I was like, just so you know, you need to know. So,
if you like it, put a ring on it. All right. So
yeah, exactly.
All right, we're hanging out with Mandy Penn, who is an author, photographer, and a business, small business owner here in Southern Colorado. And we're gonna take it down a notch in terms of topic, because, you know, if you're going through a hard season here in life, these stories and this book in particular might blow a little wind in your sails. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Booth Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. Bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, back here, second quarter, April 6th, Saturday, about 8:15. Hopefully you're on your second cup of coffee with us here on the True North Show. I want to give a quick shout-out to Boot Barn Hall and Notes Live, the team that is bringing us the Sunset Amphitheater. Thank you very much, folks, for being a part of our world. You help us meet these incredible people. Mandy Penn is on the line with us today. In recent shows, we've had First Lady of Colorado Springs here with us. Abby Mobilade was with us last weekend. And prior to that, Ricky Schroeder, the award-winning actor. And he's now a very strong advocate for the porn industry in terms of moving it off the commercial platforms. He is trying to marginalize that so that it's not in the public space. Really great work he's doing. And he has actually been successful. If you listen to that show a few weeks ago, he was successful in Custer County, Colorado, in creating the first porn dry county. So congratulations, Ricky Schroeder. You did a great job out there. And I know you haven't even begun yet to take a swing at that crisis that is facing our nation, our families, and our workplace. So keep on going, my brother. And then check out these other interviews that we've done in the past. We've had Olympians on here, Paralympians, business leaders, singers, songwriters, athletes, you name it. Great mix of programming here, because you get to meet and listen in on the people that live, work, and play among you here in Southern Colorado. It's pretty cool. So that's the True North Show here, 8 a.m. on AM 1460 and 101.1 FM, The Answer. So back to Mandy Penn. She is the author of a great book that has a 5-star review on Amazon Books. It's called The Hands They Were Dealt, and these were inspirational stories of overcoming the odds. Now, if you're going through a tough season right now in your life, whether it's loss of occupation, job, mobility, a family member, a loved one, any kind of loss or tragedy that has occurred in your life, no doubt you are in the throes of a great deal of emotion, grief, sadness, trying to figure out what's next and so forth. But she has compiled a publication here. That's, like I said, it's a 5-star book on Amazon. You can go out and pick it up. It's just called The Hands They Were Dealt. And, you know, this is a great way to see that you're not alone in your tragedy or in your adversity at the moment. It feels like it sometimes, but you are not alone. And she takes on 14 resilient souls, as she calls them, through the intimate journey of their individual narratives. And they're very inspiring anthology and emotionally charged tales of triumph over adversity that create a tapestry of strength and resilience. So, Mandy, glad you're with us. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So,
well, let's talk about this book. First and foremost, you know, what was the impetus for this book?
Yeah, so I am a big advocate for just people's journeys and how they become who they become. And I noticed that we don't really talk about that a lot, you know, which is fine. Not everyone has to, you know, spread their dirty laundry or whatever they think is dirty, you know. And I love hearing people's stories and how they become who they are and how they become stronger. And the people that are the strongest are the people that have gone through a lot. And so I found it very exciting to hear all the different perspectives from people, whether they have depression or they, you know, lost a lot of weight or like me, they have had babies in the NICU. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, I didn't have a near-death experience, so it's not really a trauma or it's not really, you know, a big deal. It's just something I went through. But to some people, that is a big deal. And I feel like giving people that platform was my way of, you know, that's why I did the book. And I'm excited to, you know, continue doing it. But that's kind of was the emotion driving, driving the bus, I guess.
That was the beginning, So, yeah, but you had your own life episode as well, it sounds like.
I did, yeah. So my kiddos were born 10 weeks early. Like I said, they're twins. They're going to be 11 next month, actually. But they were born 10 weeks early. They were 3.5 pounds each, which is actually decent size for preemie twins. So I can't even imagine having, you know, bigger babies 10 weeks later. So, but they were in the NICU for 51 days. And I don't care if your baby is in the NICU for an hour or 200 days. It can be very touch and go and very scary.
Yes.
And I didn't really realize how much it impacted my life until I was thinking about, you know, what, so if I were in this book that I'm putting to, that I'm curating, what story would I tell? And that was the biggest thing. And I noticed that when I tell people of that, people are like, oh yeah, my son was in the NICU or my daughter's in the NICU. And it is very nice to know that we go through things, what we feel, like you said, by ourselves, but that there are so many people that have gone through that. And, you know, that should and will give you hope.
Yeah. What do you think it is about our culture, Mandy, that we isolate ourselves and we say, well, nobody really wants to hear our problems? You know, maybe not so much every day, you know, 5 days a week at the office during work time. But I submit that people are probably a lot more interested in our tales by virtue of probably having similar experiences or wisdom around situations that occur in life. Would you agree, disagree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that a lot of it has to do with trust. And a lot of people, truthfully like me, don't believe that their story is worth telling. You know, some people are like, oh, well, I didn't go through what that person went through. So who am I? Like, am I worthy enough? I think that's the biggest thing is like, some people don't think they're worthy to tell their story. And I feel like everyone has a story they want to tell. It's whether they finally can tell themselves that, you know, telling their story is going to help someone else.
And did you felt yours did?
I did, actually, before the book came out. So I have had numerous friends that have had kids in the NICU. And when my kids were in the NICU, what helped me was I journaled every day. And I turned that journal into, an album. And I took pictures and I put it all together. The print is like 5 point because I wrote so much, because that's all I did those days was just sit. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't touch the babies until, once a day for 30 minutes, and you can't caress them. So you couldn't really do anything as a mom or a dad. And my husband was working really hard, and that was my job, was just sitting and, listening to the doctors and the nurses and just being there.
Did you stay?
And so I journaled.
At the hospital?
Yep, at the hospital, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
And so I journaled. And so I put all that journal into a book. And so maybe about a year and a half ago, I had a friend who had twins in the NICU, and she was going through a rough time. And I was like, I'll just give you this journal, just some stuff that I wrote down. And she reached out to me a few weeks later and was like, I didn't read it all because it's obviously a lot. But she was like, it's really inspiring because it was nice to know that, you take two steps forward in the NICU, but there's always like a step back. Mm. So it's always like touch and go.
Right.
And so it was really inspiring for her. And I was like, if I can touch, one more family or one more mom, then it would be worth it.
Just to give them a little bit of peace and assurance.
Exactly, and hope, yeah.
Yeah, because, I'm tracking with you. Obviously, I'm not a mother, but, recently had a grandson, and, he was in the NICU for a very short time, but, it's never easy. How long were your kiddos in NICU?
They were in there for 51 days, and they actually came home on the same day, which is kind of unheard of with boy-girl.
Really? So almost 2 months of NICU, and you basically lived on site.
Yes, I was, unless they made me go home, which I did, and I slept, and but going home the first night was so hard because I went into a nursery that was empty that I hadn't even unpacked or, done anything because they were 29 weeks, and so it was really hard. Because I was like coming home with no belly and no babies and the nursery wasn't together. So it was very intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see the heartache in that and the hope and the wondering each time you go back. Now, Mandy, what was it like when you finally were able to spend some time with them?
So I got to spend lots of time with them, obviously when I was in the NICU, but you can't hold them for very long. Once I got them home, I felt like I couldn't have enough of them because I was like, oh, my babies are home.
Yeah.
Like, but then you get overwhelmed and then you have mom guilt because you're, doing a lot. But I know that's, silly. And a lot of people have mom guilt, and there should be dad guilt too, because my husband just, he didn't like hospitals. So he was more present when we were at home.
Right.
And he was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm lucky he stayed with me during the pregnancy. So
I was
the worst pregnant person ever. So.
Well, you may feel that way, but I'm sure you weren't as nearly as tough as you make it sound.
I sure hope not. So.
But when you finally got to cradle your own children on your chest and just be with them, that had to be a big bucket fill.
Yeah, and I shed many tears when I was holding them just because they were so little, especially in the NICU. You would do skin to skin. So they would take them out and put them on my chest, and I just remember just sobbing.
Oh, sure.
But I couldn't, and I didn't want to let go, because I was like, but it was so hard because they had CPAPs, and I don't know if a lot of people know what they are, but they're so huge and they're obnoxious. So, they had CPAPs for the majority of the time, and so I couldn't really hold them the way I wanted to. And even when we went home, they were on oxygen.
Yeah.
So once that came off, it was like a game changer.
Right. Well, we're hanging out with Mandy Penn. She's author and photographer here in Southern Colorado. She's also a small business owner. We're going to get into that. But before we do, next quarter, we're going to take on some of the stories inside of this great book. It's called The Hands They Were Dealt, Inspirational Stories of Overcoming the Odds. If you're going through a difficult time or a dark time or a quiet time, you may want to take a look at this. It doesn't have to be an absolute tragedy. It can just be life dealing you tough blows and, just difficult circumstances that you have to navigate through, whether it's with yourself or with a spouse or a loved one or friends. It's never easy. So stick with us. We're back in a moment with Mandy Penn.
The news and events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
All right, back here, third quarter, True North. Thanks for listening in. It is Saturday, April 6th. It's about 8:30 in the morning here on AM 1460 and 101.1 FM. The Answer. Glad you're with us. And you're listening to Mandy Penn, who is an author and photographer here in Southern Colorado. She's also a small business owner here in Colorado Springs. She's got a great studio that we'll get to in just a moment. But she's written this great book, and I know you've presented in front of the Women's Chamber of Commerce and other groups here in town, Mandy. First of all, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I know you've presented a lot of opportunity for folks to get their hands on this book, but I want to encourage folks to go out to Amazon.com, or you can go to thehandstheyweredealt.com. And you'll get to see some of the features inside. We're going to identify a few of these folks within your book and some of the challenges and stories. Now, folks, I just kind of give you a heads up. Some of these are pretty intense. But the good news is, if you can look at it that way, that the silver lining, the other side of the tunnel, if you will, is really what this book is about, and how the folks navigated their way through these challenging and almost impossible to think of times to basically get a stronghold on life again and a zeal and a zest for life. So, Mandy, glad you're with us. You've got 14 characters in this first book, and I know this is one of what you hope to be a series of books on getting through adversity and coming out a champion, basically, or coming out on the other side a stronger and healthier than perhaps you were before. You've identified 14 folks here. Two of them are together as a couple. You got Jesse, Shannon, Sadie, Alicia, Rosen, Terry, Hosiah, and Kristen. That's the couple. Noelle, Dawn, Dr. Michelle, Kieran, Jesse, and Tara. And some of these stories hit very, very close to home. I know one of them was Tara Bush. She was actually at the Club Q shooting that evening. You want to start there?
Yeah, so Tara is a friend. I've known her for a long time, and she was actually DJing that evening. Mm. And so she goes through her whole story, and it is intense and it is heartbreaking, but she is, doing some amazing things. But she was shot three times, twice in the back and once in her arm, I believe. Mm. And you wouldn't know now. She's so strong and she's amazing, and she's still DJing and doing life. And, but she went through an intense story. And so I was super lucky that she, was willing to tell that, especially so recent to, when that actually happened. So mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. So what were some of the highlights of her story, or the pearls of wisdom that you drew from Tara?
So Tara, I definitely is just never quit. She never wavered. She knew that she was going to be okay. She knew that, and I don't want to like tell her whole story. So you have to pick up the book, it's really nice because she just continues to be herself and she continues to strive and just basically making the best out of a crappy hand that she was dealt,
Mm-hmm. And she was shot three times by the shooter, correct?
She was, yes. Yeah.
And obviously survived and obviously had some physical trauma as well as the emotional trauma of not only being in that room and being shot herself, not once but three times, but then also seeing and witnessing all the other catastrophe that happened that night.
Yeah, especially since she DJed there so much. She worked there, so she knew.
She knew the people.
Yeah. Knew the people very well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Tara's still in town with us here. Is she planning on returning to the newly opened Club Q here in the region?
So she is because she's actually part owner of that. So she decided that she wanted to, be a part of what the Q was, And so they just opened a lounge about a few weeks ago. And so, she's local and still doing her best to be amazing like she always is. So, mm-hmm.
Another one you call out is Sadie Solstice. Now, this is a Denver native, so she doesn't live in our community, but her story still touched your heart nonetheless. And give us a little insight into her story.
Oh, man. So Sadie is amazing.
Yeah.
What she's gone through is unspeakable. And obviously, I'll speak about it, but it is crazy. I had met Sadie because she actually told her story at a local event called Memoirs. Mm. And I heard it, and I approached her, and I was like, if you're willing, I would love for you to be in my book. I feel like people need to hear this because of what you've gone through. So the short version of her chapter is she was a victim of domestic abuse, extreme domestic abuse. And she was pregnant, and her partner at the time came at her and actually ended up stabbing her 13 times. I see the scars. The picture itself that I ended up doing of her for her chapter is super intense, but it speaks to what she went through.
Right.
And so, and she was pregnant at the time, like I said, and that baby boy is, I think he's 6 or 7 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's healthy, and, it's just, it's amazing. Like, if a neighbor wasn't there, she wouldn't be here today. And it, like, all these things that, lined up coincidentally that saved her life. So it's a very inspiring and amazing story.
So as you're compiling these stories, Mandy, what is some of the common strands? Because you've got 14 stories here. They're all very similar in terms of the sense that they've gone through unusual circumstances. And, maybe not always with grace, but they've certainly come out on top. Aside from that, what are some of the common threads that you learned about these people? What's inside of them? What drives them? Anything that you can point to in terms of wisdom so the listeners can kind of pull out, some additional ideas as to what is under the hood in this great book?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's hope in tragedy. Sadly, it sounds ironic, but with tragedy comes hope. And all of these people, in one way or another, they go through these things, but it ultimately makes them stronger, and it makes them look at things differently, and it truly helps them to relate to people. And so I noticed that I was just going to say, with about half of the authors, they've actually taken their story and turned it into a nonprofit or a way to help other people and a way to, be able to tell their story in a capacity that can help people. And that is what I wanted this book to do. I didn't want to just be like, here's a story. Hope you enjoy it. Like, I wanted it to help people, not only the people that read it, but the authors. And, it's very liberating to write down your story.
Well, another one you have in here, and this is probably a parent's worst nightmare, Jesse Branford, a local resident here in Southern Colorado. She has a bachelor's degree in human development and family studies from CSU. Give us kind of a snapshot of what she endured.
Okay. So Jesse is actually a friend. I've known her since middle school, I think. And we
you
went to high school
friends.
Together and graduated together, so we're the same age.
Yeah.
And she actually tutors my kids. But her son, Aiden, was just a light. He was amazing. He loved everyone. He wanted to get back. He did cute little lemonade stands, is what he called it. He say lemonade. And so he did those all the time, and he would give money to Karen, Sharon, and stuff. And a few years ago, he was hit in a parking lot. He was 5 years old at a flip shack. He was running to see his daddy, and he passed away on the way to the hospital. And so she goes through, she spares no detail in what she went through. And she found it. We talked a lot during the process, obviously. I talked to all my authors while they were, some of them did their thing and sent in their chapter, and they're like, okay, I'm good. But Jessie and I really talked about it, because she was like, should I say all the truth? Should I give a lot of detail. And I was like, truthfully, it's up to what you want people to know, you know, ultimately. And so she gives lots of detail about how she's feeling, what they've done with that, how the family has processed that. They've had a baby since then, little Amelia. She's about to turn one, which is super cool. Actually on the 10th of April, so in like 4 days, so that's cool. But it's amazing the strength that she has, because as a parent, you never feel, you never imagine that your child would leave before you, you know? So.
Well, and something that touched me as I was reading through these bios, Jesse says, in retrospect, I remained incredibly calm while receiving the worst news of my life. I was absolutely in a state of shock, and all I could think about was who to call and what next steps needed to be were taken next. So, you know, just amazing resolve that she was able to get there. But then, you know, now she's kind of reset and she's rebuilding her family. I mean, there is life after tragedy.
Yeah, there is.
Well, you know, we're hanging out with Mandy Penn. She's done this great compilation, and she calls her contributors the authors within the book, which I love that. It's an act of humility in and of itself, Mandy. But these are great stories in the sense that people, individuals, families do overcome adversity. And we all go through it in various degrees. You know, as they say, you don't get out of this experience alive. So we're all going to experience something along our life journey. And it's amazing to see kind of the thread of commonality that each of these men and women have endured as in terms of tragedy and experience, but also overcoming it and getting on with their lives, whether they draw from spiritual senses or family for strength. Interesting stories and a lot of pearls of wisdom within. I encourage you to go get it, thehandstheyweredealt.com, or you can go on amazon.com. It's a 5-star review book. We're back with Mandy Penn in just a moment.
Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. Bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, fourth quarter here, True North, April 6th. Can you believe we're already in April? It is springtime in the Rockies, and Mother Nature is still battling back and forth to see who will take the title in April. Will it be winter or spring? So I'm going to warn you, if you start pulling out your lawn feeding equipment and your bulbs and your seeds too soon, we're going to get bombed with snow again. Okay, I'm just telling you. So don't jinx us. Just keep them in there until we have a steady flow of 68-degree days here in Southern Colorado, because it's going to be a gorgeous spring. Amen to that. All right, Mandy Penn is on the hook with me. She's an author, photographer here in Southern Colorado. She's got a studio here in Colorado Springs, and we've been talking about her book, The Hands They Were Dealt, and this is 14 inspirational stories of folks who have kind of gone through some of life's worst stuff. So, and they've come out on the other side with a new perspective, a new appreciation for life, for family, for friends, and just for the gift that we have here in daily life in Colorado. So grateful to have you with us, Mandy. Thank you for joining us.
Always. I'm glad to be here.
Very good. Well, you know, as a photographer, you were able to capture a lot of images that accompanied these stories that were very impactful. Talk about some of those.
Yeah, so as a photographer, I want to tell people's stories. I want to, you know, get people's true reactions and their personality on camera. And so my way of creating that for my authors was actually talking to them about their story, and we would contemplate how my brain works in weird ways. So they would tell me a story, and I would get a few images. And I'd actually talk to them about it, because each author has an image on the front of their chapter depicting the story you're about to read. And so each one has little, you know, tidbits in it that, you know, sometimes only the author kind of knows what's in it. But there are lots of these images that just depict what they were feeling and basically, like, give you a look into that event image-wise as far as, you know, that goes. But then you get to read more in detail, expanding on that image. So it was very intense and very fun for me, truthfully, to depict, you know, these stories and imagery.
Well, and I would imagine very personal.
As it relates
to each of these individuals. Now, Sadie in particular, I mean, she had some, you know, gratuitous injuries, if you will. She was stabbed, what'd you say, 13, 14 times?
Sadie, yeah, 13 times, I believe.
Right. So what was that photo session like? I mean,
so she likes to model. And so we talked a little bit about ahead of time, and I was like, you know, do you want it to be real, or do you want to do something a little, you know, less gruesome, or, you know, what are you thinking? And I was like, here's my idea. Do you like that? And she was like, heck yeah, let's do it. And so there was like fake blood involved. There was a knife involved. There was blood all over her. And it was very intense shooting that, like knowing that that's what she went through and seeing the scars on her body was just like insane. And the amount of scars that she actually had on her body, you know, all over her back, her arm, her legs, her, you know, her chest, it's insane. So,
and knowing that there was a human life inside of her, that it was able to survive by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely phenomenal. And so did she kind of revisit that event as you guys were shooting?
So a little bit. She didn't get emotional or anything, but we kind of talked a little bit about it. I try not to pry. If people want to tell me, you know, what they're feeling during that, then I'm totally open to that. Mm-hmm. But I also am not like, oh, well, how does this make you feel? You know what I mean? Because right. I'm not trying to bring up bad memories. I'm trying to just get into their mind. You know what I mean? And so she told me things. She's very matter of fact and very strong. Like, she didn't really get emotional at all. She actually enjoyed the process, so it was actually really cool.
Very good. Alicia Nolan's another one that stands out. Now, she had kind of some severe behavioral health and mental health issues that she was challenged by and facing and dealing with. Her story, she of all the 14 that you've spoken with so far, and again, there's work being done now for Volume 2, she was probably the most philanthropic after her event, would you say?
Heck yes. Alicia's a force to be reckoned with. So she herself didn't have a ton of, you know, mental stuff, but her wife actually committed suicide with her gun. Yep. And so her wife had a lot of, she thinks maybe borderline personality disorder. And so watching her go through that, and I was there after Nicole passed away. I was with Alicia a lot those first few weeks and months, and we've gotten really close. But it's very interesting what you can do with certain traumas and what you can, you know, the impact that you can have on people. So she actually runs a nonprofit now called Live, and the I is a semicolon, which means to continue on. So it's, you know, the author's way of saying, oh, the story's not over yet. And so the semicolon has a big representation in the suicide prevention community for being that, you know, continue on. Don't let life, you know, get you too down. You know what I mean? And so she has Live now, and she is, you know, doing podcasts. She's hopefully writing her own book eventually. And it's just super cool to see the growth in her and the people's lives that she's touching.
Fantastic stories there. Now, the last one I'll point out, and then the rest is up to you folks. You need to go out and get this book, TheHandsTheyWereDealt.com. You can buy it right off the website. I encourage you to do that as quickly as you can. Kristen Sharp and her husband actually kind of co-authored their section and in their respective journeys. This is a husband-wife team here that actually experienced something as well.
Yeah, Terry Josiah and Kristen Sharp, they are amazing, and they're doing lots of stuff in the community, which is great. But we become really close because of the book, but also I do photography for them and stuff. Mm-hmm. But Terry Josiah is actually was actually an abuser. Not physically, not, you know, and he goes into more detail, but he was always told that as long as you weren't cheating on a, on your, you know, as long as you weren't hitting a woman,
right.
You weren't abusing. He was, and it wasn't until Kristen brought that to light, because Kristen is actually an abusee of domestic violence. And so it's interesting there, the way they talk to each other and the way they interact is so empowering. It's just like, kind of no matter what you've been through, you can always come out better. And Terry Josiah is the sweetest man I've ever met, and I would never look at him and think that he was like that, but he was. And so it took Kristen, you know, bringing that to light. He didn't even realize until Kristen was like, oh yeah, that's a form of abuse, you know? And so now they actually talk about it a lot. They go to, they speak a lot, they MC a lot, and they talk about that story. And that is super amazing, because they came through that and they've grown exponentially together.
Very good. Well, it's called The Hands They Were Dealt. The author is Mandy Penn. It's a literary sanctuary where courage takes center stage. You can go out to the web and pick up this book, thehandstheyweredealt.com. And some of the proceeds of what you're doing are going to a local cause. Mandy, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, so I gave my authors a few nonprofits to support with the book. Each book, each recurring book that I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to hopefully do this for the foreseeable end, you know, we'll go, the proceeds, a portion of the book will go to a local or, you know, national nonprofit. And I had them vote, and we voted on Kono, which is basically a nonprofit building, like, neighborhood network. So what's really cool this year is actually they're trying to do, I believe it's 1,000. I want to say 1,000.
Okay.
Now I'm like second guessing myself, maybe 100. No, 1,000, like neighborhood block parties, and like, you know, just getting people out since COVID. It's been really hard for people.
That's right.
Because they feel secluded. And so the more people you know, and the more you network, and the more neighbors you know, the more likely you are to live longer and to be happier. And so that's their sole purpose, is to, you know, create packets for people to, you know, do block parties, and here's some resources that they get. And so we were really all excited about that. So
that
was our nonprofit that we picked for volume one.
Certainly appreciate that. Well, you're an award-winning photographer. You've got some great awards and certificates. You know, I know you've been recognized by the Gazette as best in the Springs. Congratulations on your accomplishments there. I don't want you, I don't want to let you get away without giving us at least a 1 minute commercial on Mandy Penn Photography.
All right. We ready?
Hit it.
Okay. Sounds good. So I am Mandy with Mandy Penn Photography. I own a boutique photography studio in Central Colorado Springs, and I specialize in portraits. So that's people, animals. I love, you know, newborns, and I'm doing a lot of showcasing people's brands and businesses, which I love. And so I would love to chat with you, and also we'll be hopefully in the near future doing volume two of The Hands They Were Dealt. So if you have a story that you want to tell, or if you need someone to talk to and want to, you know, share your story, please reach out. It's the website, thehandstheyweredealt.com, and at the bottom it says, you know, share your hand. You can share with me, you know, that story, and then I give you all the information, and hopefully you'll be in volume two or volume three.
Very good. Well, and you also do a thing called Milestones. So this is headshot branding, weddings, maternity, the first year of life, you know, probably some graduation stuff, I would imagine. But just lots of, you know, those events tend to get away with us, folks. So don't let them. Don't let him get away from you. Give Mandy a call. You can reach her at Mandy Penn. That's PENN.com. And if you want to pick up that book, TheHandsTheyWereDealt.com by Mandy Penn. Mandy, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Derek. I really appreciate being on the show. So thank you.
You bet. Well, have a safe drive home in Southern Colorado. Enjoy a beautiful weekend. We'll see you next week here on True North.
You've been tuned in to True North. Till next time. Life.